And yet there's a warning when it comes to tradition. After a while, tradition becomes kind of just rote, mindless process. I know it's not really possible on 75 or the tollway to get lost in your thoughts and just drive without thinking about where you're going. But I've certainly lived in places where I didn't even remember driving to work. And it's those things where we just get so used to this muscle memory and this mind memory that we just go through things. And that's okay in a lot of ways. Except for when we forget about God. Who he is, what he does, what he's about, what's he doing. In fact, there are some incredibly big examples in the Old Testament of how God's church went through the mindless rote and their hearts were far away from God. They were worshiping all the false gods of their day in their land. All that they created from their hearts, all they grabbed from the people around them, the nations, and they gave God only lip service. They maintained the traditions. They maintained all the outward rites, but they really forgot who God was. And in a very powerful way, in Jeremiah's day, God makes a point to remind them of who he is, but he's also making it a point of what he's going to do to his church through the wicked king Nebuchadnezzar. But that's for another time. Tradition, it's a good thing. I like a lot of my traditions. I'm sure you like a lot of yours. And we're really living as Christians on the traditions of those who have gone before us. And some of it has to do with our hymnody, our praise songs. They're traditions that we maintain and keep because they help us stay connected to God. Some of our traditions go way, way back to like the baptismal Roman Creed we call now the Apostles' Creed. And we use the Apostles' Creed in a short way to explain to ourselves and the people around us who we believe in. The God, namely the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, namely the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, namely the ontological and economic Trinity. Boy, those are interesting terms. But there's been a lot of thought put into these traditions. Today, we're really going to pull out the stops and we're going to confess our faith in the words of the Athanasian Creed. That's even a mouthful to say. Wait till we get to the creed. It's really something to work through all those concepts of the God we're talking about, not to be confused with all the other gods there are out there. But let me say this, and this is why I started talking about tradition. If when we say the Athanasian Creed, we don't think about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, if we don't think about what God has done to us, then we're confessing the faith of dead Christians long gone. And it's their confession, not ours. We're just giving it lip service. But in our confession of it, we think about, yeah, this is the God I believe in. Yeah, this is the God who loves me. This is the God I love. Then it's no longer the dead faith of the past living, if you follow that. It's now the living faith of the living. And it's not just lip service. It's acknowledging the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, when you talk with others about God, how often do you get into the details and just share bits and pieces about God as creator, as redeemer, as sanctifier? Do you ever get into those conversations and talk with people about the God you believe in? We call that evangelism. We call that mission. I was talking with someone many years ago. I'll not forget it. We were talking about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they were not Lutheran. No big deal. They believed in the same God I did. And then I made the mistake of saying, oh, wow, you believe in the Holy Trinity too. And they said, no, I don't believe in the Trinity. I said, well, wait a second. Wait a second. You believe in the Father, Son, Holy? Oh, yeah. You believe that the Son died for you and the Holy Spirit has given you faith and you live because of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. Oh, then you believe in the Trinity. No, I don't believe in the Trinity. And, you know, I had to keep talking because this was really confusing. And the guy ended up saying, well, I don't believe in the Trinity because the word Trinity is not in the Bible. And I thought, wow, for a sola scriptura Lutheran, scripture alone to shape our traditions, I thought it was very fascinating that I had to learn that one of my traditions wasn't biblically based. Throw the concepts there. You know, we have adopted the term Trinity, and it goes all the way back to people loving God, wanting to explain who God is, and so it's a Latin term, it's a Latin construct, tri unus, three in one. So it's shorthand for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one who has made us, redeemed us, and is making us holy. But isn't it interesting how tradition can take on kind of a life of its own? And that's okay. There's a lot of our tradition as a congregation that isn't biblically mandated, but we do it. Like, for instance, God willing, we'll start all kneeling at the rail, socially distanced, sooner than later. There's nothing in the Bible that demands that we kneel, but we do. And we pause for a few moments to think about what Jesus did for us. And so there's a lot of our life that we have the freedom to shape our traditions after. But today, we really hold up the Holy Trinity, it's Holy Trinity Sunday, and celebrate the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we also celebrate the love that our brothers and sisters ages past had for making plain who God is, defending the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, explaining the true God of the universe, setting aside all the other false gods there are, and then proclaiming who and what God is. We use some very formal language today, and we need to, because we want to celebrate who God is and what he's done, because he is awesome and huge and incredible and a mystery and also truth. And so we do that today. But we also recognize how even sharing the basic message of what God has done for sinners saves people's lives. So talking about God, explaining what he's done, explaining what he's doing is all about evangelism. It's all about giving witness. It's all about sharing the truth. And that's what defending and proclaiming the Trinity is all about. I mean, fundamentally said, even as believers, we know that our hearts and minds get confused and twisted by our sinful natures. And even if it's hard for us to grasp all that God is, the good news is God knows who we are, even our shortcomings, and he still loves us. He speaks his name over us. He keeps us mindful of what he's done for us and what he is doing for us and what he has planned for us now and forever. This is the God that we sing to in our songs, we look to in our scriptures, we share and think about in our messages, and celebrate in our lives the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And even if we find ourselves fumbling with explaining who God is and what he's done, we can trust that the message gets through. In fact, in moments, we'll be hearing the scripture readings where we will see how God reveals himself and calls himself things like us in the Isaiah reading, and how even the apostles explain the gift of salvation, even how Christ himself in our gospel reading explains who and what he's all about. In the name of Jesus, amen. We sing our song, Holy, Holy, Holy.